Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null. I'm getting up soon in the morning.
I believe I dust my room. Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be talking about survival skills that have been forgotten by our great-grandparents. They used it every day. And which of these could benefit us today, especially those who are looking to do homesteading or a better quality of life. Also today, we're going to look at how olive oil lowers our risk of heart attacks. We're also going to see how California's landmass is sinking at a record rate faster than ever before in its history. Why is the land sinking? Why is that important? Well, because when land sinks dramatically, everything built or part of that land is at risk, such as buildings fracturing and pipes bursting and the systems like bridges or tunnels being exposed to cracks and destabilized. So it's a big deal. No one's talking about it. We will. Also, scientists are mystified by unusual strandings of large mammals in the Pacific Ocean. We'll talk about that. And it's time to boycott Ben and Jerry's. Why? Didn't they boycott genetically engineered milk? Yeah, they did. But it's what they didn't do, and it's bad. Also, we'll share the latest on our nuclear power plant is burning. And also, we're going to be hearing from two different points of view on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and you won't want to miss that. Now, when you use your cell phone and you have all those apps, you assume that it's just for your convenience, allowing you to get from point A to point B. Well, there is a hidden agenda behind all that, and you'll hear about Do Not Track. We'll also hear from one of the world's most respected physicians, scientists, professors on Big Pharma and what he has to say about the corruption. He equates Big Pharma now with the mafia. So we have a lot to share. Let's begin. From Oregon State University, a major study published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology talks about fracking is affecting the quality of our air and human health. Quote, people living or working near active natural gas wells may be exposed to certain pollutants at higher levels than the Environmental Protection Agency considers safe for lifetime exposure. That's according to the scientists at the Oregon State University and the University of Cincinnati. In lay language, the researchers found that hydraulic fracturing, that's what we call hydrofracking, which releases natural gas from below the ground rock formation, it emits pollutants known as PHAs. These are polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, including some that are linked with increased risk of cancer and respiratory ailments. Quote from the article, air pollution from fracking operations may pose an under-recognized health hazard to people living near them. And that's according to the study's lead author, Dr. Kim Anderson, environmental chemist at The Ohio State University's College of Agricultural Science. So what is the takeaway message? Well, let's pull back and put this into proper perspective. We were drilling tens of thousands of these wells in Texas, Oklahoma, Wyoming, Montana. It's just, in fact, Montana has so many that at nighttime from space, the satellites make it look like they're cities. Those are not. Those are oil and gas derricks that are giving off the afterburn and major pollutants. Okay, so we're talking about tens of thousands. Now we have them associated in Ohio and Arkansas and Oklahoma with increased earthquakes, where you had no earthquakes whatsoever for decades. Now you're having thousands of earthquakes, generally at 1 to 3 on the Richter scale, per year. Now, the question is, could these cause a big one? We don't know. But the fact that it's causing any at all means it's creating an environmental situation that is not right. But then people living around these hydrofracking areas are generally relying upon wells or aquifers that everyone shares, and that's where they get their drinking water. And they are coming up polluted. But unfortunately for them, states like Pennsylvania that are so corrupt and where the politicians are so in the pocket of special interest groups, including the governors, that Dick Cheney, as vice president, worked with all the major gas and oil fracking companies to create an energy policy that excluded them from the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, and also in the state of Pennsylvania, your doctor cannot even go public with the information that your illnesses were caused by gas hydrofracking. That's how draconian it is. It's like creating a police state for special interest. So now those people's water supplies are catching fire, causing disease and death in their animals. And so not only is the air contaminated, the water contaminated, but that might be water for an entire community. On top of that, in states like Texas and California, where you have severe drought, they get all the water they want. They're not a part of the, let's say, limiting of the water that's being used. So that's why when it says fracking of air is bad, it's bad for the air to frack, and it's just one more university in another peer-reviewed journal, so the science is there showing it's dangerous. It should be banned. All hydrofracking should be banned. Also, there is new research from Nanjing University School of Sciences, published in Protein and Cell, the peer-reviewed journal, and it shows that microRNA that pass through the placenta can regulate fetal gene expression from toxins, what are called exogenous, E-X-O-G-E-N-O-U-S, means outside the body. So here's the takeaway message from this. It means that when you are exposed to pollutants and you're pregnant, let's say you've got chemicals in the air, or you're microwaving something in plastic, and that means that tiny nanoparticles of that plastic are coming off in the food, and that's going into your body. Or maybe it's the formaldehyde in your carpet, or the outgassing from the particle boards in your cupboard or your desk. All these hundreds of different toxic chemicals go into your body. You breathe them in or eat them or drink them, but then they can go right through the placenta, and then end up impacting the gene expression, creating toxic genes. So one more reason why, and I've said this many times on the air, I'll say it again. Before a person is considering a planned pregnancy, ideally, in a perfect world, you would take 2 years to detoxify and rejuvenate and cleanse your cells, your emotions, because your emotions, if they're toxic, if you come from insecurity and fear of abandonment or early life trauma, you're carrying all that in your DNA, and that is passed right into the DNA of the child, and hence you're starting a little life off with a negative. So it takes time to process our traumas and our negativity. It takes time to get the toxins out of the body, get rid of the mercury fillings, to get rid of hair dyes, to chelate out all those negatives. So you're really giving every opportunity with a planned pregnancy to having a healthy child born. So that's why I always recommend that. And that isn't the ideal. And that just proves why we should pay attention. Now, concerning diet, from the University of Southampton, United Kingdom, there's a good study. And it shows, can diet and exercise prevent muscle loss in old age? Because we've all seen, as people age, their skin begins to shrivel, their muscle mass begins to diminish, they get that jowliness, They get their neck fins out, the folds of skin around the neck and under the arms begins to, hang. It looks like someone bought a suit that was two sizes too large, their skin does. Anyhow, the answer is yes, and that's good. And because here's why. You will lose about between 30 to 50% of your muscle mass is lost between the ages of 40 and 80. That results in lower strength, less ability to carry out everyday tasks. It's called sarcopenia. Sarco, S-A-R-C-O, penia, P-E-N-I-A. And it's common. Most people will experience it. And the worse your health, the more likely you're going to experience it. Now, here's the good news. Exercise training and diet supplementation has been shown to prevent sarcopenia, and that's important. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Clinical Interventions in Aging. Scientists from the Medical Research Council, Life Course Epidemiology Unit of the University of Southampton, carried out the review of 5,000 scientific articles, and that's what they found. So what we've been sharing all along is important. It's accurate. This is from Professor Robinson. Quote, poor diets and being physically inactive are common in old age. Understanding the benefits of maintaining sufficient levels of physical activity and diet quality to prevent sarcopenia is therefore a priority. Although some studies have found enhanced effects of exercise training when combined with diet supplementation, and then they go on to talk about what that should be. So, do your exercise, drink your juices, eat your plant-based diet. And also, for those who are taking your multiple vitamin, let's say you're not doing it the way ideally you should be taking high-level doses of different nutrients like vitamin C and coenzyme Q10 and magnesium for your heart and for your muscles. Let's just say you want to get a regular drugstore, box store multiple vitamin. It still works. This is according to this study published in the peer-reviewed journal Age. Quote, a single dose of a multiple vitamin mineral and herbal supplement may reduce stress in healthy older women. And this was a major study. So, quote, the most significant effects were observed for perceived mental stress. And so if you want to be less stressed, have a better mood, feel calmer, more relaxed, more at ease, a single multiple vitamin mineral by itself with nothing else, no meditation here, just that makes a difference. Well, that's good. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Human Psychopharmacology, Clinical and Experimental. And finally, for all the men in the audience or the women who are supporting them with their prostate cancer treatments, there's new research that now validates so many people who sit across me who talk about they had hormone therapy and they for their prostate cancer, and now they're experiencing hot flashes and night sweats and all these other symptoms happening on their body. And this is a brand new study that shows, yeah, that's correct, 80% of men are affected on hormone therapy. They suffer hot flashes, as many as 12 flushes a day and about 8 at night. That means their body is soaking wet during the day and at night, what women have been going through for a long time. So I do not recommend their therapy. There are natural ways with Africanum pygium, salt palmetto, genistein, isoflavonoids, vitamin C, Pau d'Arco. These are the better ways of helping men who have prostate problems. I'm Gary Knoll. That's the latest on health and nutrition. By the way, yesterday I mentioned how good nuts were, and so I got an email saying, could you be more specific? Well, first of all, they're anti-inflammatory. They turn off inflammation. That means they're good for arthritis, fibromyalgia. They're good for heart disease and cancer. They're good for diabetes and dementia, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. They're good for macular degeneration and cataracts. Now, why? Because they contain folate, niacin, tocopherols. They are also good minerals like calcium, selenium, potassium, magnesium. They help protect bone density and to protect and regulate blood sugar. They have phytosterols, phyto, P-H-Y-T-O, sterols, S-T-E-R-O-L-S. That's a cholesterol-like molecule which interferes with the human body's ability to absorb cholesterol and helps lower the bad LDL lipoprotein cholesterol. They have phenolic, phen, P-H-E-N, olic, O-L-I-C, compounds. Now, why do I spell words all the time? It's simple, because I have so many people who are listening who can't write something down or may not have heard exactly what I said. So I do that simply because people can then better understand it in case they want to write it down or they're recording it. So they can get back and go in and say, I heard Gary Knoll say something that would help, and it was phenic or phenoic. But then if they have written it down, they know it's phenolic and spell it, and then give it to someone maybe in a pharmacy or a health food store, it's easier for them to get it. Like the beta-carotenes, those are phenolic compounds. And that's the plant pigments, which give it their color, but they're also rich in antioxidants. They have the good fats, and the good fats, the polyunsaturated fats, help with your blood vessels healing, help reduce cholesterol. And one of the best nuts is a coconut. And it has the medium-chain triglycerides, and which are more prevalent long-chain fatty acids that make up approximately 90% of our daily food consumption. And that's what you don't want. Those you get from your meat and dairy and bad vegetable oils. So let's just summarize. What do we want? We want almonds and Brazil nuts and pecans, walnuts, pistachios, macadamia nuts, coconuts, cashews, hazelnuts, and pine nuts. Sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, chia seeds, and sesame seeds. Those are terrific for you. We're going to take a brief break and come back. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. We're broadcasting all over the world and radio stations and over the internet and the number one progressive radio program in the entire world. And we had a lot of people come last week to visit our progressiveradionetwork.com. The articles, hundreds of articles every day, documentaries, calls to action. And it's honest, good quality material. All of it is scientifically vetted. So you're not getting propaganda. You're getting good quality information. So we thank you all for sharing it. Now, I wanted to share some ideas with you and then see if people in the audience can resonate with this. And if you have any of your own ideas, I'm going to ask you to call in. And our talkback number at 888-874-4888. I'm on a telephone. I'm back in New York City, by the way, and happy to be back after 5.5 months on the road. But you'll see very shortly in the next, 3 weeks, the 4 weeks, one of the new major feature film documentaries on an extraordinarily important social issue that I have not covered before and that is now in the final stages of being completed. We're in the last pieces of our post-production, and then I'll share it with you. In any case, I'm always interested in what people have to say. So here is something for you. Remember growing up, if you're a baby boomer, then you remember that there was generally someone in your family, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, father, mother, who could do things that today people just would not have that skill or possibly even desire. For example, I rarely ever remember calling in someone because we did so much stuff ourselves. I remember that my family had a little garden, and my uncle had actually a large garden, and my great aunt had a huge garden. She had a farm. And so gardening for our own organic food after World War II was a big deal. They called them victory gardens. And today, there is a movement by many people, millions of people in the United States, to do a movement, at least some movement, back to the land. Recently, I did a health retreat for a number of our listeners from both Progressive Radio Network and WBAI, our sister station in New York, where I've been for 39 years. March 10th, it was 39 years. And one of the most popular classes we did was on sprouting. In fact, at one point, we had over 100 trays of sprouts. Jan, who is our kind of resident homesteader, he is a man who lives close to the earth and very wise in nature, was doing all this planting, and he had gone there prior to everyone getting there because you got to get a head start. So when people arrived, they saw just a bountiful number of trays that had sunflowers and chia sprouts and clover sprouts and alfalfa and fenugreek and mixed microgreens, everything you could think of was growing. And then people had a chance to learn how to do it, how easy it is, how inexpensive it is, and then how tasty it is, because every day their salads came from these microgreens and sprouts that are growing. Now, of course, you put them in the ground, then they grow from a microgreen to a major green to a full plant. It just takes, instead of 7 days for a sprout or 21 days for a microgreen, it might take 2 months. So you have a whole evolution, and you can do this on your roof. You can do it in your backyard. So I believe that one of the biggest things we can do today is grow some of our food. And in fact, on Sunday, I went over to the farmer's market. By the way, I'm meeting with my running and walking club now, and you're invited on Sunday at 9 a.m. at Central Park and 90th Street. Just come ready to learn how to power walk, to jog, and we'll get you in shape. It's free. It's a public service. Wonderful group of people who are there. And then when I finish my workout, I go to the farmer's market. Well, just microgreens alone were $12 an ounce. That was really expensive. You know, you're talking about over $100 a pound. You could grow those all day long. They're so easy to grow, but you can't buy them in a normal store. So people mainly get them at the farmer's market. So you could do all that. So there's a movement to that. And so that's one of the things our parents and grandparents used to do, and we're not. So we got to get back to that. Then, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as factory farming where I grew up. It was people had cows and horses and all the different farm animals. Well, if you want to have a farm animal that you've rescued or one that has been in a factory farm that you're now adopting, and that's a good thing, to give it a life, to let it live out its life with love and attention and in nature, that is just terrific. Because otherwise, that animal's going to end up slaughtered and living a pained, tortured existence. And people don't think about that when they eat their hot dog, hamburger, steak. They're not focused upon where did this come from. But one of the things that people can do is, if you live in the country, get yourself one of these dairy cows, because they really are abused. Now, a dairy cow is a very loving creature, and just being able to have a dairy cow around, it calms everyone down, you bond with it, and it's no different than having a dog or a cat. They're very intelligent, they're very sensitive, they're very loving, and they follow you around just like a dog and a cat. you sit down, they'll come over and lay down beside you and put their head in your lap and look up at you with those big daisy eyes, and you're rubbing their chin and their nose, and you bend your head over, and they'll give you kisses. That is one of the greatest ways in the world to help a child develop character and proper sensitivity towards all creatures, by having them be raised with an animal that they are responsible for giving love and maintenance. It's a better kid when they can do that. Then the food preservation. Now, I'm sure many of you saw your parents or someone canning, you know, where they would cook the tomatoes or string beans or cabbage, whatever they were doing back then, whatever you were growing, they would can, and it was a good process. And then the masonry jars and it kept everything for a long period of time, and then they could use it in the winter time. Generally, is when you'd use that stuff, especially if it were fruit. Trouble is, they use a lot of sugar. But today, what we could do for food preservation is the easiest thing in the world. We can dry it. Drying in the sun takes about 4 to 5 days if you have no rain and you don't have humidity in the morning. It's easy. You simply wash your fruit and you cut it in half, take out the rock or the stone inside, what are called rock stones, and or the pit, and then you cut it in half, and you put it on a screen. And you can buy our screen, make your own kind of screen, and then over top of it you put a thin muslin netting, and that way insects don't get to it. And then you flip it over each day, one side, then the other side, until the water shrinks out and evaporates, and you're left with a nice, organic, dry piece of fruit. And then you can put it into a kegged barrel. Or you can do it much quicker. You can do it in a matter of hours. You simply put it into a food dehydrator, take it up to 115 degrees. It preserves everything. It's still considered raw. Your enzymes, phytonutrients, antioxidants, all are preserved, and it dries out. And you can do that as well. And then we had basic carpentry. And I believe that all Americans today can benefit for the future by learning basic carpentry. Framing, woodworking. These are things that are important. Woodworking skills allow you to make furniture and allow you to fix things that are broken. It was interesting because on a piece of property I had to clear an area, because there were a lot of old trees that were leaning in and with one storm going to fall on the house. So I cut them down, and I trimmed down the larger branches, and I put them out by the road, and the sign said free lumber. So many people stopped and wanting, and this church guy came by, and he says, I have a capacity to come in here and cut this all into planks, and whoever picks it up, and they did, and they cut all these planks. People came by and took the lumber to use. So carpentry is good. Also mechanical skills, learning how to repair things, learning how to repair septic systems and sprinkler systems and wells and small motors. All that is good if you have basic mechanical skills. So learning basic mechanics is important. Then herbal medicine, learning about the most important culinary herbs and medicinal herbs. Culinary herbs, because you can grow them in trays and then use them as you want. If you buy an herb in a store, it'll last about 2 days, if you're lucky. If you grow them in a tray, then they can just stay indefinitely, and you just keep spraying them with water. They're getting nourishment from the soil they're in. And then you have basil, you have cinnamon basil, lemon basil, oregano, thyme, dill, rosemary, tarragon, mints, peppermint, and you take the leaves, cut them, and use them in your dishes as you want. That's the ideal. And then for the medicinal ones, you can get those and dry them out and then put them in little bags, label them, and then whenever you need them, you have them. So those are the skills that we once all were aware of and we had, and today very few people have any of these skills, and yet I realize these are going to be important in the future. So if anyone has other skills, call in and let me know. I don't have a way of knowing from my I'm not hooked up to a computer, so if my engineer lets me know, I'll be happy to take your calls. Now, from our environmental segment today, according to P.A. Watson from Natural News, quote, California land mass is sinking at record rates as farmers desperately drill wells to use groundwater. Here's what happens when you live in a place that you shouldn't. And mind you, right now, 80% of California is in a place where no one should be living because you don't have enough resources now or in the future to sustain almost 40 million people, 39.5 million people. And the trouble is you have so many people who can't afford to have the truth come out, like lawmakers and the governor. Yeah, they'll tell you now that there's a drought, but we've been telling you that for 7 years. They'll tell you now that they should be restricting water, but they're not restricting on the gas hydrofrackers. They're not restricting on Nestle Water Bottling Company. They're not restricting on the oil derricks. They're not restricting it on the almond growers. They're not restricting on the central large farms. They're restricting on homeowners. But then again, that's a two-tiered system. Those regular people who now will convert their grass into a desert lawn, which is fine. You have cactus, you have low-water plants that are aesthetically very pleasing, very beautiful gardens. And at the same time, you get the enjoyment of something that looks nice, but you don't have to worry about needing a lot of water for it. And then you have your big estates where millions of people live in these gated parks where they have golf courses and lakes, man-made lakes. Well, initially, they will simply pay a lot more for their water. And because they're more affluent, they'll be able to afford that. But in time, they too will be restricted. And once they're restricted, and once these golf courses no longer can maintain the huge amount of water necessary for that, whether it's bahia or whatever type of grass they're using, they will be, in effect, no longer of quality of life value. If they don't have their lakes, and they don't have their water features, and they don't have their golf courses, they're going to be abandoned. Now, no one's talked about this. Well, you ought to see how many thousands of golf courses there are in California and how many people live in those communities. You're talking about millions of people. So they're not going to wait till the property value drops so low. They're going to get, the smart ones will get out when the property values are so high. And because the taxes come from the value of your property. So the state doesn't want to say your property is not worth anything, but it's going to be worth less. So we're going to see first, the evacuation of those who see this is coming, and they'll relocate to places where they'll still maintain a quality of life, but without a problem with water. Probably the Northeast or the Midwest, the Mideast in Wisconsin, Michigan, some Illinois, some places where there's adequate water. But mark my words, within 5 years from now, you will have massive, massive exodus from California from those. Then you've got the people who work on those farms, and they're going to go out of business, and so they're going to be migrating. But those are migrants primarily. Now, here's what no one's talking about, and that is that when you don't have any more regular water, you have to dig. Now, normally it's about $80 to $100 a foot to dig. I know, I have four wells on my property. And so it's generally that amount. In California, it's $300 per foot. And how far down do you have to go to hit water? Well, in southern Florida, you're getting out about 60 feet. In California, 3,000 feet. So do the math. 3,000 feet at $300 a foot? Whoa. You're looking at only the wealthiest of the wealthy can afford to put that kind of money into a well. And that's assuming that at 3,000 feet, there's still water. Remember, at 3,000 feet, you're dealing with Jurassic water. You're dealing with non-replenishable water. Now, that's going to cause the ground to start to collapse where you had water. And buoyancy, now you don't. You have giant aquifers that are emptying. So the water caves in. That's going to affect your railroads, your roads, your highways, your canals, and your pipelines. You're going to have all that when you have land collapse. And that's happening now. Now, as of just April 21st of this year, 93% of the state of California is considered a severe drought. That's according to the National Drought Mitigation Center. Over 66% is experiencing extreme drought, and over 46% are experiencing the worst of all, the exceptional drought. So you got half the state in exceptional drought, and it's going to get worse. And California farmers have siphoned unprecedented amounts of water out of the state's underground aquifers, also called fossil water. And it takes centuries to regenerate this water. So what you're going to have is you have the state suffering now and in the future with mega drought. And this could last 30 or more years. So one of the places I wouldn't be in the future, California. And finally, scientists are mystified by unusual strandings of large sea creatures on the West Coast. This is from the local media. This is from San Francisco Chronicle. Quote, beach mystery, another dead whale washes up in the Pacific. For the second time in 3 weeks, a dead whale has washed up on the same beach. Quote, something's going on with nature. This is kind of eerie. And then you have people who look at this, NBC, KTVE, 3 weeks, five dead whales have now beached along the Northern California coast. Well, why don't they try looking at two things? One is, why don't they look at the impact of radiation and take radiation tissue samples from these whales or dolphins or from the sea lions and the other mammals that are dying in record numbers? Because now the radiation from Fukushima has reached the West Coast. Then why don't you take a look at the warming of the water and the stagnant trough that runs over 1,000 miles. So that means that with the change in the deep, colder water, where you have an enormous amount of aquatic life, that the mammals eat, and now that's dying, so the mammals are running out of food to eat. So a lot of animals are dying from starvation. So combine radiation and starvation due to global warming, and you got the prescription for disaster. I'm Gary Nall. We try to bring you the issues that are important. Now, let's go to our first discussion, which is about the cell phones that we use. There's people watching every single thing you do, every single app you use and how long you use it and where you go and what you watch, what you listen to. It's all being monitored. Listen up to this.
You know that game, Would You Rather? Would you rather have two foam arms or be constantly followed everywhere by 10 ducklings? My feelings about privacy and personal data on my smartphone kind of remind me of this game. Would I rather give up my smartphone or agree to carry around a bunch of little spies in my pocket? This is my Android. I've downloaded 57 apps. Facebook, WhatsApp, The Guardian, Fitbit, Twitter, Spotify. When I download an app, I have to accept the terms of service, but I rarely read them. To find out which apps are tracking me, I installed another app. It warns me if data is shared without my knowledge. According to that app, 30 of the 57 applications I've downloaded access data that concerns my private life. For example, social networks access my contacts to suggest new friends. Without this data, the application wouldn't really work. Sometimes it's really surprising. As far as I know, my flashlight doesn't need my personal data to function, but it does access my UDID. That stands for Unique Device Identifier, which every phone is given when it's manufactured. This UDID, like you, is unique in the world. My flashlight transmits it to advertisers, and they use it like a browser cookie. Tracking my UDID lets them learn my mobile habits and send me targeted advertisements. Right now, I'm at a cafe where I live. That fact is shared with huge advertising companies that collect millions of smartphone user profiles. We asked Harlow Holmes to explain how the apps go about collecting our data.
The way that apps work, and of course Android and iOS and Windows phones and Blackberries, they all have slightly different ways of doing it, but ultimately they're what are called permissions. And these permissions, if you grant them, allow a specific app access to what's called an API. It's kind of like a door. You want to open the door to the contacts, you ask the API and it gives you what you need. Angry Birds was one such app that, in addition to, you know, asking for access to the stuff that we'd expect, such as the gyroscope, in order for you to play the game, they also asked for access to your contacts. And by giving them that, you're allowing them to go into your phone and to make use in whatever way that they deem fit of the people that you know and how they can be contacted. That same thing that we're afraid of political actors making use of our contacts just to understand exactly who's connected to whom and how and when and possibly why is also used by advertisers in order to sell us more products, in order to determine who among your friends has the most influence, that kind of a thing. It's a matter of who's asking the question and why are they asking this question.
And then there's the data, which is collected based on my whereabouts. In the next video, we'll learn why my geolocation is a goldmine of data.
Now, we want to hear about the Trans-Pacific Partnership because President Obama is doing everything he can to convince his once very gullible base that he is interested only in their welfare. And like Bill Clinton, both have very similar personalities. They have a charm. They use this charm offensive to try to convince you that whatever they're doing, it's really for other people. And if it were for other people, then there's no secret. Why not let us see all of the comments in it? Let us see all of what's written, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I feel that the unions have betrayed their membership. Not all, but most, because we should have a general strike against this, because this will end the unions in the United States. Most unions will be destroyed by the impact of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. If you think wages are low now, if you think it's rough to get a job, it's easier to get into Harvard Medical School or Harvard University than it is if you, as a percentage of applicants, compared to getting a job at McDonald's. Yeah, that's the latest study just came out today. That's how many people are unemployed trying to get a job. I'm not equating Harvard with McDonald's. What I'm equating is the percentage of people trying to get in who actually get in versus the people who want a job, who need a job and can't get one. And when they do, they get a McDonald's job. That's not a job to support your quality of life. And so that's what we're going to have, a lot more low-paying jobs, much lower than now, and a total destruction of the working middle class and professional class in the United States if the Trans-Pacific Partnership goes through. So here's why I'm concerned and why I want you to call your legislator and say no to the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Not at all. We don't want it. We don't need it. Remember what Bill Clinton, how he sold us on the NAFTA, North American Trade Treaty. Well, this is NAFTA on steroids. This would destroy our democracy, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution. It would destroy all sovereignty in the United States if this passes. And he knows it. Everyone around him knows it. The 500 corporations that are allowed to come in and talk with him or his trade representative in secret, they know that. The media should know that. And they have been remiss. Let's listen in.
If hundreds of corporate lobbyists write a trade deal that no one reads, will it still affect you? Yeah. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is the largest trade deal in US history, covering 40% of the global economy. It'll increase exports between 12 countries and impact jobs, food, the environment, and more. President Obama says it's good for everyone, but why are he and other leaders keeping it under lock and key? Four chapters were leaked, and here's what the critics say would happen if it passes. Corporations will be able to sue countries in secret tribunals for making laws that cut into their projected profits, like a cigarette company suing a country over packaging. It'll give Big Pharma a monopoly on drug patents, which will drive up the cost of drugs that treat illnesses like cancer and malaria. And the TPP also undermines internet freedoms. It forces service providers to police the net by cracking down on things like illegal downloads. So is this really a trade deal or a Trojan horse for multinational corporations?
Now, Now, I'm going to ask my engineer to get the next one on the Trans-Pacific Partnership ready. This is by one of the most respected progressives in the United States, Robert Reich, and from San Francisco. Here's what he has to say on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Please listen in.
Republicans in Congress are eager to work with the Obama administration to fast-track the passage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. If you haven't heard much about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that's part of the problem right there. It would be the largest trade deal in history, involving countries stretching from Chile to Japan, representing 792 million people and accounting for 40% of the world economy. Yet it's been devised in secret. Lobbyists from America's biggest corporations and Wall Street's biggest banks have been involved, but not the American public. The pharmaceutical industry, for example, they get stronger patents, delaying cheaper generic versions of drugs. Big corporations and Wall Street get an international tribunal of private attorneys outside any nation's legal system that can order compensation for any lost profits found to result from a nation's regulations. That means even U.S.-based corporations could challenge any U.S. government regulation they claim unfairly diminishes their profits. Say, laws that protect American consumers from unsafe products or unhealthy foods, that protect workers, block toxic emissions, or prevent another taxpayer-funded bailout of Wall Street. The Obama administration says the trade deal will boost U.S. exports, but the deal will also allow American corporations to outsource even more jobs abroad. In other words, it's a Trojan horse in a global race to the bottom, giving big corporations from Wall Street banks a way to eliminate laws and regulations that get in the way of their profits. Right now, they're trying to get something called fast-track authority, so this massive giveaway can pass without any public review or power to amend. So we have to say loud and clear, no to fast-track and no to the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Okay, now, before we go further, let's take a call on our talkback line here. Hi, what's your name, please?
Hi, Gary. This is Harvey calling. Harvey from Berkeley.
Hi, Harvey from Berkeley. What would you like to share with us?
Well, first of all, I want to say hello to wonderful Utrice and tell her that we all love her very, very much. And she's wonderful. And I'd like to talk about the growing of food. And an idea I had was the solar electric greenhouse that provides its own water for irrigation. And how it works is that it turns out now they have glass, the photovoltaic glass, glass that generates electricity. And so the greenhouse can be made of this electricity-generating glass, and the electricity could be used to power the louvers so that the temperature inside the greenhouse remains constant. And it can also be used in the process of what they call atmospheric water collection using thermoelectric devices. So this is a way to collect dew. A thermoelectric device has a cold side, and the solar electricity will provide the power for this cooling device, and water condenses on top of the cooling area, like when you see a pitcher of lemonade, you see water collecting on the outside. And this water could be used to drip irrigate the plants inside the White House, inside the greenhouse, so you don't need water coming into it. So it provides its own water, and it provides its own electricity, and once again, its own venting. So this would be an idea. And also built into the glass, you know, just like you have heating elements in car windows that when it's cold, the heating elements go on and they melt the snow and the ice. So heating elements can be built into the glass so that when it snows or there's frost, it could melt it off so that the sunlight can get through the glass to the plants. So that would be a solar electric greenhouse that generates its own clean, renewable electricity and water to water the plants.
That's very good. Very good idea. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. By the way, you're out in Berkeley. You are aware that last Thursday at 3 o'clock our time, a program on KPFA, Pacifica, in Berkeley, censored and hence kept off the air Bonnie Faulkner's Guns and Butter program, where I was to be interviewed on vaccines and support of parents, rights of freedom of choice, and challenging the legislators who voted on behalf of mandatory vaccines in California. And now there is a pushback by many parents, including those living in the San Francisco area, to KPFA for censoring Bonnie and myself on this issue. And one guy is now going to show the film Silent Epidemic on this side, which is about vaccines and the lack of science and safety and efficacy of vaccines, on the side of the building on KPFA's headquarters on Saturday afternoon. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not. And I appreciate all the work you've done to keep us all safe and secure. And that's a terrible thing if it's true that KPFA censored that. They should be the first ones to play your program.
Well, they not only would not play the program, but Bonnie has never been censored. I've been censored 5 times, all from Pacifica stations. Never once from ABC, where I was for years and years and years, as their official nutrition program, and WOR, and WEVD, and WNEW. Never once in all these decades, and we don't tolerate censorship on Progressive Radio Network. And here, the people who scream the loudest about freedom of choice and freedom of speech are the ones who engage in these petty, foolish notions. So this Saturday, there will be a group protesting against KPFA for their censorship. Now, tomorrow, noon live on my program, Bonnie will be interviewing me as if it were last week's interview. So we will still get the information out in time for the legislature to hear from people who didn't know how bad the science is that they used, the pro-vaccine industry used lies and deception to convince the legislators about pro-vaccine. So that show will be live tomorrow. By the way, concerning Utrice Lead, I will pass on the information that you share. For those in the audience who are not aware of it, Utrice Lead, who did talkback for 21 years on WBAI in the afternoon, and now has had a show for the last 5 years on Progressive Radio Network following mine, she has terminal cancer and lung cancer, metastasized from the ovaries up to the chest. She did not smoke, and they opened her up after she was in the hospital for 3 weeks, and they found the cancer, and then they sewed her back up and said there was nothing they could do based upon its stage 4B and its progression, and ask her to go home and get some quality of life before she passes. And what that means is normally you would go into a hospice, and because of the pain, you would be given morphine or narcotics to kill the pain, but that also means you're then in a stupor, you lose your cognition, you lose your ability to think, and Utrice chose not to go that route. Instead, on Friday, she spoke with me, and I met with her on Saturday, this past Saturday, and I spent the entire day, and I gave her the best protocol I have that I know, everything I know that could help her, at least at this point, she is now doing. In fact, early this morning, I spoke with her and upped the amount of garlic and onion and juices, and I gave her a bunch of supplements. So she is not going to a hospice to die. She is every day engaged in still doing her radio show. She is walking every day. She is, even with a cane, she is showing that there is something to live for. She has enormous courage. And every day she's alive is a positive day. So I just want to share that with people, that she is engaged to using everything she can to honor her body and honor her life, and continues with the best possible attitude of approaching this condition. So good for her, and I will pass on that you shared your positive thoughts with her. Okay? So thank you, Harvey from Berkeley. And we're out of time. So tomorrow we have a special program, a one-hour special on what the parents of America should know, not just in California, about mandatory vaccines. They want to see that your child is given the Gardasil vaccine and other vaccines, where you, as an informed, educated consumer, a parent, when you read the real science, the independent science, when you look for the facts, you could have some suggestions. You still may be pro-vaccine, but maybe not certain vaccines, maybe not in this massive, completely foolish way that they give enormous amount of vaccines all at once, or you may be anti-vaccine altogether, but at least you will have the real independent science on your side. So then you'll be better informed to make a decision in the future, because they've started in California, but they have legislation going in every state to make it mandatory. So this program could be a lifesaver for countless individuals in the future. And this is not the information in a open society that should be censored, as KPFA and its management has chosen to do. They will see that the people and the listeners are not happy with that kind of approach. I want to thank you all for listening, and I look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone. They do.